Joshua chapter 1. Last week we began a road trip with Israel. We talked about how the Lord led them. And the first thing the Lord led them to was a detour. And what could have taken them 3 days, a week at the most, to get to the promised land took them 40 years. And one of the reasons for that was because they would have had to travel through Philistine country. And the Bible says they weren't yet ready for war. And so God took them through the wilderness to prepare them and to strengthen them and to get them ready for what laid ahead. And sometimes God brings detours into our life because he knows we're not quite ready for what's ahead. And so he's working in our life, getting us ready, preparing us to fulfill his will. And then the next thing that happened was they came upon a dead end. They had the mountains on two sides of them. They had the Red Sea in front of them, and they had the approaching Egyptian army and behind them. They didn't know what to do. And God said, Moses, tell the people to stand still and they will see the salvation of the Lord. And he told them to stretch out his rod over the sea, and he stretched out his rod over the sea, and an 8-lane superhighway opened up. And sometimes we come to dead ends in our life, and it's just God's opportunity to show his might and his power. And then they came to a dry hole. They came to a place where there was no water. And they thought, what are we going to do now? We should have stayed in Egypt. At least we had water to drink there. And on a little further was water, but it was bitter. And God said to Moses, throw a tree in the water. And he threw a tree, which represents the cross. The cross is the answer to the bitter waters of life. And he threw a tree in the water, and the waters became sweet, and they were able to drink. But the interesting thing is, they were on the map just where the Lord wanted them. The Lord directed them. And if they could see at that moment, just over the hill, was a beautiful oasis. And so God led them from the bitter waters to a beautiful oasis. And sometimes in our life, we come to a place where things are dry and they're bitter. Hold on, because just over the hill is a beautiful oasis that God has prepared for us. So as we continue on the road with the Israelites, God led them on the detour. God led them on the dead end. God led them to the dry and bitter holes. But I also want you to know that there are ditches on either side of the road. And it's our job, it's our responsibility to stay out of the ditch. Now God has told us that the Old Testament is there for us. It's there for our learning. The things that happened are an example to us. That's what 1 Corinthians 10:11 tells us. And so this is more than history. It's devotional literature, and it's a guidebook for Christian living. It's for the modern Christian. So let's look at the book of Joshua. We're going to pick out just a couple of verses today from chapter 1. And actually, this is a book of victory, and victory is God's plan for every believer. And although the Bible admits the possibility of defeat, it never assumes its necessity. And if we're living in victory, then not in victory, we're living beneath our privilege as a Christian. All right, Joshua chapter 1, verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. There's the ditch. If you don't stay on the road, you turn to the right. You go in the ditch on one side. Anybody ever been in the ditch? If you turn left, you go in the ditch on the other side. So turn, don't turn to the right or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. I want to talk to you today about ditches on the holy highway. Let's pray. Father, just ask today that you would show us if we're still on the road, or Lord, if we've gotten off in the ditch somewhere. Lord, if we have, that we would get back on the highway of holiness, and we would drive down the road living the Christian life by faith. And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. So every good highway is mounted up so that there's a ditch on the right and there's a ditch on the left. And if you stay on the highway, you're fine. But if you get off, then you're in trouble. I remember one time we were living in South Dakota, and we were coming back to Wisconsin for a visit. And this was really unique. It was snowing like crazy. And I've never had this happen before, but I went into the ditch. I had that happen before. But I ran into the ditch, and I drove in the ditch. I just kept on going down the ditch, and I came across, it was a farmer's field, and there was a little bit of a road from the field to go back out on the highway, and I got right up there and turned on there and never missed a beat, just kept on going. It was amazing. I remember when we got to Minnesota, we had to stop for gas, and we stopped, and our car was just covered with snow. Unbelievable. There was not any snow there whatsoever. And the people looked at us like, where did you come from? But I've been in the ditch, and I know what it's like to be in the ditch. I've been in the ditch and had to get pulled out by somebody. Ever have that happen to you? All right. So you know what I'm talking about today, only we're going to talk about that spiritually. Sometimes spiritually, we fall into the ditch. Now God says to Joshua, you're going somewhere, and I want you to have a good trip. I want you to have a prosperous trip wherever you go. So don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. You know, God's instruction for you when you get saved is to turn right and go straight. Right? Turn right. Get your life together and then go straight. The way to heaven is a straight and narrow way. Now, as a pastor, I've spent time pulling people out of spiritual ditches. They were on the highway, and somehow in their life they've turned to right, or they've turned to the left, and they've gotten off the road. Now this highway is a highway of faith. It's a highway of faith. We live the Christian life by faith, and the book of Joshua is a book of victory, but the victory comes through faith. And there are three experiences in the life of faith that I want to talk to you about today, and I hope you get these into your heart and your mind, because if you travel the journey of faith and you go the way of faith, there are three basic steps, three basic roads, and each one of these roads has ditches on either side. First, we're going to talk about the word of faith, and then we're going to talk about the work of faith, and then thirdly, we're going to talk about the weight of faith. So the word of faith, the work of faith, and the weight of faith, the W-A-I-T, weight, that kind of weight, weight of faith. And these are all experiences that you will have as you travel the holy highway. And again, if you can stay out of the ditch, your way will be successful. You can have a prosperous life like Paul, Joshua had, as God promised him. So the holy highway, first of all, is the word of faith. Look in verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Your way is the holy highway. then thou shalt make thy prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So first of all, you have to have the word of faith. God says this book of the law, the word, will not depart out of thy law. What is faith? Faith is reliance on the word of God. It is trusting. It is relying upon what God has said. Paul said in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So true faith comes from the word of God. It's born out of hearing God's word. It's not praying until you feel all warm and fuzzy inside. It's not praying until you have goosebumps that stand on your arms, or until you get the little shivers. That could be faith, could also be just emotion. Nothing wrong with emotion, but we don't let emotions be our guide. Remember that emotion and feeling and instinct and even intellect is not faith. You have an idea. Could be a good idea. And the Bible is not against ideas. The Bible is not against intellect. The Bible is not against using your mind, and it's not contrary to reason. But you know, faith goes beyond reason. Reason can only take you so far. But when reason ends, then faith begins. Where faith cannot swim, or where reason cannot swim, faith takes over and takes over the swimming. And don't take the Bible and don't take your Christian life and just parade it through the judgment bar of your mind, because if you do, you limit God. Because God is bigger than that. Now, there are actually two ways to hear the word of God, and both of them are found in verse 7. There's the written word. We call that the Logos, L-O-G-O-S. This is the Bible word for word. It means written word. What I have here is the Logos of God. I have the written word of God. But there's another word in the Bible. It's translated into the English language as word, but the word is rhema, and it's the rhema of God. Now, what is the rhema? What is the rhema word, the rhema of God? This is when God takes the written word and by the Holy Spirit impresses it upon our heart. This is when God speaks to the heart, God's revealed will. God will speak to you both ways. God will speak to you by the Bible, and God will speak to you by the Holy Spirit. For example, how do you know if you should be a missionary in Cambodia? You're not going to find it in here. The word is not going to say, the Logos is not going to say, thou shalt be a missionary in Cambodia. You won't find it. But as you read the Bible, and as you pray reverently over the Bible, God, through the Holy Spirit, might speak to your heart and say, I want you to be a missionary. And he lays Cambodia on your heart. God gives you the Logos, but God gives you the Rhema as well. God speaks both ways. For example, God will speak to you out of the Bible, but God will also speak to you by the Holy Spirit. And it's like God takes a word out of the word, and he applies it, he makes application to your life. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17, the Bible says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The word there is Logos, or is not Logos, the word is Rhema. Take the Rhema of God, that is the revealed word of God, the word that God is speaking to you about. Now, look in verse 7 here. Here, let me just do that. The word there is rhema, the applied word of God to your life. Now, if you look at Joshua chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to the law which Moses my servant commanded thee." That word law there is the logos of God. That's what it's talking about. But now if you look at verse 8, it says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." And this is where the word rhema comes in. So here's what it is. You take the scripture. Can I just explain to you how it worked in my life? Maybe that will be easier. One day I was reading the Bible. I was reading the Logos. And I came upon a verse. I think it's still in here. Oh, good. God didn't remove Colossians from the Bible. But I was just reading the Word. This was before I was called to preach. And I was reading the Word, and the Scripture said in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 25, which has become my life verse, "Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God." And I was reading that verse, and I was praying over that verse. "Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you." And God spoke to my heart. The Logos was the written word. God spoke to me through the Holy Spirit, the rhema of God. He called me to preach that day. He said, I want you to fulfill this Logos. I want you to fulfill this word. I'm calling you to be a minister. I'm calling you to preach. And that's what the Holy Spirit laid in my heart. I was grateful for my father-in-law because he said, you need to get a word from God. And what he meant was, I needed to get a personal word from God. I needed to have the Holy Spirit speak to my heart about that, because he said, you know, there's going to be times in the ministry where it's rough and you might doubt your calling, and you have to go back and you have to have something that you can hang to, that you can hang on to. And I've done that. I've done that time and time again. I've always went back and say, God, I remember when you called me. I remembered when you gave me your rhema. I remember when you gave me the word. So what happens is we read the Logos, but as we meditate on it, and that's what God told Joshua to do, as he meditated on the word, he would speak to him specifically and individually about certain things. God would lay it upon his heart, and that would be the rhema. And God wants to speak to you the same way. These two always go together. They're not separate from each other. They don't contradict each other. The rhema will never contradict the Logos. The Logos will never contradict the rhema. But you need to read, be in the Word, reading it, and letting God speak to you that way. In verse 8 says that we should meditate on His Word day and night, right? Day and night. We're going to get to that in a little bit. But that's when the rhema, when you meditate, that's when the rhema will begin to speak to you, taking the word of God and giving you a word, an inside word. There's an old Oriental fable about some men who were crossing the desert. And suddenly, an old man appeared to them and said, "Before long, you're going to cross a dry riverbed. When you cross the riverbed, get off your horses, go down to the riverbed, and collect some stones." And he said, "In the morning, you will be happy and you will be sad." And so, as it was dusk, these men came to this dry riverbed, and they got off their horses, and they took their saddlebags, and they went down, and they began to collect some pebbles. They began to collect some stones. and they put him in their saddlebags and they went on. The next morning when the sun came up, they looked into their saddlebags and these stones, according to the fable, these stones became rubies and diamonds and emeralds and precious gems. And they were happy, but they were sad because they hadn't picked more. And it's just a fable, but I think that's the way it is a lot of times with the Bible. We pick up the Logos of God and we read it in the morning. We see how to apply it to our life. And we're glad that God has spoken to us through his word, but we're sad that we didn't glean more. We're sad that we don't have more of God's word speaking individually to our hearts. And it's the meditation that turns these pebbles into these words into treasures, into jewels, precious treasures. We're glad we got the word of God, but we're sorry we didn't get more of it. We're glad that we got the Logos, but we're sorry we didn't get more of the Rhema. Now, over and over again, the Bible tells us that we are to meditate on the Word of God. I love Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law, the Word of the Lord. That's the Logos. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Meditating on the Logos turns it into Rhemas. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Or how about Psalm 19:14? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. And then Psalm 119, verse 97. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Now, God speaks to us to our conscience, but you know he also speaks to your subconscious? And that subconscious really goes into effect when you sleep at night, when you go to sleep at night. Have you ever gone to sleep at night and you've had something on your mind and you're sleeping and all of a sudden you wake up and whatever was on your mind, you're just starting to think about it? It's because your subconscious was not meant to handle that. Your subconscious says, I'm not going to deal with this. And so it wakes your conscience up and says, this is your problem. Here, you deal with it. And so you worry about it or whatever it is, and you can't sleep. And sometimes we wake up in the morning after a night like that, and we felt like we haven't slept at all. You know, we've wrestled all night long. But have you ever gone to bed, and you've had a problem, and you committed that problem to the Lord? And sometimes we actually use the phrase, sleep on it. You ever said that? I'm going to sleep on this. And that night, God gives you an answer. It's happened to me time and time and time again. God reveals something in the nighttime because I had went to bed after surrendering, after asking him for help. And he speaks through the subconscious mind. Donald Trotman, who was the founder of the organization called the Navigators. The Navigators are people known for discipleship and scripture memory. He had a habit when he was, no matter where he was, if he was with a group of men or if he was just at home with his wife, before he would go to sleep, he would call out loudly, H-W-L-W. H-W-L-W. His word, last word. And somebody would hear him yell that out, and they would give a scripture verse. And he would go to bed with that scripture verse on his mind. His word, last word. And what a great thing to do. Because while we go to sleep with the scripture on our mind, our subconscious is meditating on it. thinking about it. And that's why the psalmist said we can meditate day and night. That's why God told Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. Now let me say, if you're reading the Bible and God is not speaking to you, you're not getting it all. Okay? You're not getting it all that God wants you to have. Now, the greatest thing is when the Logos and the Rhema confirm each other, a double confirmation. Now, having said all of this, I want you to be aware that there are ditches on the side of the road, okay? And people have fallen into these ditches. Some people have taken this word rhema and they've taken it to a whole new level and never meant what God intended in the scripture. And so there are ditches. And I want to share with you some of the ditches on either side of this road of faith. And we said, first of all, that we were going to look at the word of faith, the word of faith. And I don't know if you want to draw this out or you want to write it down, but it's be something I think that you might want to hang on to. Because on one side of the road, the right side of the road, on the word of faith, is a ditch, and it's called presumption. It is presuming to hear from God when you haven't. I've known a lot of people that have fallen into the ditch of presumption. Taking a text out of context. And you know the saying, a text without a context is a pretext. And that's exactly what some people have done. They haven't really studied the scripture. They've just taken a text out of context and say, I've heard from God. God told me this. Well, you got to be careful. You got to be careful, especially if you take something out of context. I think I told you this story before. We had some good friends in South Dakota, and he had cut his hand or something, and his wife was stitching him up. And he said to his son, he said, son, go get the Bible, quick, read to me. He said, Dad, where should I read? He said, I don't care, just open it up and read it. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? I mean, that would be taking a verse out of context because God really hadn't forsaken him, right? And so there's a ditch of presumption, presuming that you have heard the word of God and you've heard the Logos, but you haven't really. You haven't really. I'll tell you, honestly, sometimes it scares me to death when people say, God told me. Now, I know God speaks, and I'm talking about the Rhema, but we have to be careful because there's been a lot of times when people have blamed God for things that he didn't do, that he didn't say in the first place. Now, you must hear the word of faith. You know that there are, well, let me put it this way. When I went to North Central, our freshman class was huge. I think when I went at that time, it was the largest freshman class ever at North Central. But you know, not every one of those freshmen were called into the ministry like they thought. Because by the time I got to be a senior, we weeded out more than half. And so it couldn't be that some people were never called. Could be that some people were called and just didn't carry through. Even some that graduated never went into the ministry, did other things. And so I think sometimes we have to be careful that we're not just presuming. Sometimes people just get an emotional feeling. And I know people that said they were called to the mission field, but you know, once they got to the mission field, they couldn't handle it. They came back. Were they really called, or were they caught up in the emotion of the moment? And so there's a ditch called presumption. The ditch on the left hand, oh, let me give you that, sorry. Presumption, presuming that you've heard from God when you have not heard God. On the other side of the road, the ditch on the left side is insensitivity. This isn't where you get a false word, you don't get any word at all. And the reason you don't get any word is because you haven't been in the word. And so the Holy Spirit doesn't have a chance to speak to you. Actually, it's not that he's not speaking, it's that we're not listening. God is speaking and we're not listening. So we need to quiet our hearts before him, and we need to say, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." So on this holy highway, number one, you have the word of faith. On one side of the road is the ditch presumption. On the other side of the road is the ditch insensitivity. Now, secondly, not only must you hear the word of God, but you must do the work of God. So there's the work of faith. We go back to Joshua, and we find in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." Now watch this, "that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written." The Bible says in James chapter 2 and verse 17. Oh, sorry, I'm behind today. Here we go. "Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." Faith is not merely believing in spite of evidence. It is obeying in spite of consequence. Now, what are the ditches on this side of the road? Now, the work of faith. The ditch on the right side is hyperactivity. It's overzealousness. And yes, there is such a thing. Sometimes we can just become so busy for the Lord that we miss out doing what he's really called us to do, what he really wants us to do. God wants us to be obedient, not just do any old thing. It is obedience that God is looking for, not primarily activity. And you know, when a person gets into the ditch of hyperactivity, usually they've neglected something that God has really called them to do, what God really wants them to do. Somebody was talking about one particular man like this, and he said, "Do you think he'll get to heaven?" And his friend said, "Yes, if he doesn't run right past it." You know, hyperactivity is not of God. I used to think that busyness just meant that I was, you know, a good, righteous person. But I found out that you can be busy doing the wrong things. You can be busy doing good things, but not even the best thing. And, you know, busyness is kind of a fad. You know how vain I used to be? I don't do this anymore, but this is how vain I used to be. I used to have a day timer. Remember what day timers were? And I'd write in there my to-do list so I could cross it off. Well, if I did something at the end of the day that wasn't on my to-do list, I wrote it down anyway. You know, look how busy I was today. So we got to be careful we don't run into the ditch of hyperactivity. And what is the ditch on the other side of the road? You guessed it. Passivity. Not doing anything, really. Just letting God do it all. I like the statement, we are to rest, not rust. But in order for us to rest, we need to work. We need to work. All right, what is the third road? It's the weight of faith. The word of faith, the work of faith, and now the weight of faith. Look at verse 9 there, Joshua chapter 1. "Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Now your Lord is your companion on the holy highway. But generally, there is a time between the promise and the fulfillment. There's usually a waiting time. between the promise and the possession, we wait up on God in faith. And God is telling Joshua here, I've given you this land for a possession, but you're going to have to be careful that while I've given it to you, there's going to be a time period between that and your taking it, and you have to be careful that during that time you don't lose courage. You don't lose heart. You have to be careful, Joshua, lest you become dismayed. See, we think that sometimes that God, when he's promised it, he's going to immediately give it to us. But that's not always the case. And so what do? We begin to manipulate things, and we fall into the ditch. We take matters into our own hands rather than waiting upon God. And Satan will come to you, and he'll whisper in your ear, God has called you. God has promised you. Where's the fulfillment of that promise? Nothing is happening. So you know what? God helps those who help themselves. So if you really want this to happen, you're going to have to make it happen. And you know what's interesting? God called Moses. God called Moses to lead the children of Israel out of the land of Canaan. And Moses, rather than waiting on God, began to manipulate things, didn't he? And remember how he even killed an Egyptian. He took matters into his own hands, and he killed this Egyptian, and he started out as a missionary, but he became a murderer. He made a mess of everything, and he had to stop. Listen, church, he had to stop the work of God. He had to stop the ministry that he was called to do. And it took him 40 years in the desert to learn the lesson that God wanted him to learn, because he tried to manipulate things and force the situation. Here's Abraham. God calls Abraham. Abraham, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. I'm going to make you a big daddy. And through you, the whole world is going to be blessed. Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. But Abraham couldn't wait upon God. He began to manipulate things, and he got Sarah and Sarah's handmaid Hagar and said, you know what? I will use Hagar. She will conceive, and I will fulfill God's promise through Hagar. And what did he do? He manipulated the situation. What a dreadful thing. What a dreadful thing he did. What a dreadful thing happened because he couldn't wait on God. And you know what? There are times in your life when you might try to manipulate things. And what's going to happen, though, is the devil's going to put you in the ditch of manipulation. And I think we've all been there. I really do. And we wonder, what is taking God so long? Is there anything I can do to help God out? And instead of waiting on God, we fall into the ditch on the right side. Now there's another ditch on the other side, and that is the ditch of hopelessness, just giving up. When the time comes to wait on God, if we don't give into the ditch of manipulation, we give up. And that's why God warns Joshua in verse 9, have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. You know, if you just wait on God, he will fulfill the promise in his time. Don't get ahead of God, and don't give up on God either. There's a great verse. Here's a good verse for you to meditate on. It's Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. If you're one of those who don't want to wait on God and you feel hopeless, then listen, God is able to do all we ask. That's what the verse said. God is able to do all the... In fact, let's turn there. Can we... Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. I didn't put this verse on the overhead, but I think it'd be a good idea if you look at it. Everybody got it? Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. God is able to do all that we ask. God is able to do all we ask or think. That's pretty good, isn't it? But it also says God is able to do abundantly above all that we ask or think. But it even says more than that. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. What a mighty God we serve. If we would wait on him, it'll be so much better than if we try to do it ourselves. And you will reap if you don't faint, if you don't give up. And God may be calling. God may be calling you to a ministry. I don't know, but sometimes he calls people to be missionaries. But he calls all of us to live the missionary life. And sometimes I think we get the two confused. God has called you. God has called you. And again, although the Bible admits the possibility of defeat, never, never, ever assumes it. This book of the law, the Logos, shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it, so it becomes the Rhema, day and night. Don't fall into the ditches. Stay on the road. Don't turn to the right hand. Don't turn to the left. Stay on the road marked out for you. Then, God says, you can make your way prosperous and you will have good success. The word of faith, don't presume. Don't be insensitive. The work of faith, don't be hyperactive or don't be passive. The weight of faith, don't try to manipulate God or the situation, or don't give up and think things are hopeless. Wait upon God and stay right down the center of the holy highway. Have your heads bowed, your eyes closed, please.